Please pray with me. Father, by the clearness and the brightness of your holy word, may all the world come within your saving embrace. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. What does it mean to be blessed? Or who are the blessed? Or if you prefer the churchy pronunciation, who are the blessed? Right? It's funny when you lead prayers, some say blessed, blessed. It's kind of a potato-potato thing. I think when I'm trying to explore what is a popular conception of something, a good place to go is the hashtag on Instagram. If a picture is worth 1,000 words, there's so many words in all those different pictures. And it's not a dictionary definition, it's not deep philosophy, but it is an expression of what people see for any given phrase. So if you go to blessed on Instagram, the hashtag, there are more than 106 million images, which seemed like a lot to me, but then I discovered that love has 1.5 billion images. So blessed is only like barely in the top 100 in terms of popular images. But if you look at blessed, you'll see lots of images of what people see as the blessed life or to be blessed. See lots of pictures of vacations, beach vacations, different exotic places. You'll see lots of fancy cars and different material possessions like jewelry or clothes. Most everybody will be looking pretty good. They don't have bedhead and put a picture of themselves and say, I'm blessed. There's pictures of people's children, of pets, of food, delicious meals that people are about to eat. It's an image of lots of external goods and conditions, which you'd expect. Again, it's a picture-sharing site, and so it's what can you picture in an image. When I think of a person who embodies that sort of vision of blessed life, someone who would be honored for the way that they have those different material things, those different experiences, the popular figure Anthony Bourdain came to mind. You might remember he was a travel writer and a chef. He was quoted once as saying, "Your body is not a temple, it's an amusement park. Enjoy the ride." Your body's not a temple, it's an amusement park. Enjoy the ride. And it's a very decadent sort of statement, but when I would watch his show, I was really captured by how intensely he delighted in things, especially people, in a very sincere way. His travel show was not about going to the most expensive hotel or the fanciest restaurant, but he really sought to show how there is delight in the common life. One of his shows was called Parts Unknown, and it was an exploration of places off the beaten path and what is the character of life in those places. So he seemed to be a person who would try everything at least once, and if you think of the range of experience, he probably experienced more than most any of us will experience in terms of what the world has to offer. He visited more than 50 countries. He, again, ate all kinds of different foods and saw all the different kinds of things. He did live as though his body was an amusement park and he would enjoy the ride. But tragically, on June 8th of this last year, he took his own life while he was on assignment for his show in France. He was a person who delighted in experiences and the best experiences the world had to offer, and he exuded that delight, but tragically he succumbed to despair, a despair that others didn't see and that was so overwhelming to him that amusement did not satisfy him. And he tragically, again, succumbed to that despair. Popularly, a blessed life is like the life that Anthony Bourdain was able to lead. One that is full of delight and experiences. It's one that is equated with favorable circumstances, and again, just the whole range of things that you could possibly experience. It's antithetical to suffering. It's not a delightful life is not one that you would imagine would see suffering or fear or sickness, certainly not death. And so when you look at blessed life on Instagram, you won't see any of those things. The biblical vision of blessing is also connected to delight as well. The promised land for God's people is described as a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a well-watered land. It's a flourishing place. It's a place of prosperity. But the waters of God's blessing and the things that God's people are to delight in run deeper than the mere appearance of health and prosperity or temporal riches. Because the Bible speaks of righteous poor and wicked rich. There are these contrasts that we have to hold. As Scripture is saying, it's not just about appearances, but there's something deeper to delight in. Instead, as our psalm says, blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord. Blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord. Law in this setting does not merely mean the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, but the whole counsel and revelation of God's will. It's the law and the prophets. Indeed, it's even the psalms itself of an expression that we can delight in. Blessed is the one whose trust in the Lord, who delights in him. This word delight is an expression of desire and trust, of trusting that what we follow after will be satisfying and pursuing it with all we have. It's about obedience to the law, but not just about knowing it and doing it just because it says so, but doing it out of a spirit of delight, that there's something good in knowing God's law and then enacting it and doing it. It's a desire that leads God's people to meditate on it day and night, not just in those times, but as an expression of how we meditate on it at all times. And meditate not just mentally, as though we're thinking about it at different points, but in the way that things like the Psalms would have been learned at that time, learned by repeating through an oral tradition. And so words that are meditated and almost muttered under our breath, which I'm not saying that you should all mutter Scripture at all times, but it's that ultimate example of how much it would be infusing your life. Blessed is the one whose delight is in that law of the Lord. By that definition, the poor and the excluded, the sick and the hungry can have delight and be blessed. Their blessing is guaranteed by the focus of their delight in true things, not the condition of circumstances. For those who are poor and excluded, those who are scorned for righteousness' sake, will receive their reward, though that reception of reward may be on a very different timeline than the material blessings of this world. They will bring forth fruit in their due season, those who delight in God's law. Blessedness, according to God's word, is not just a matter of degrees of prosperity, but it's a matter of life and death. It's not a better measure of basic survival, as though everybody is just granted life and then the blessed life is just a couple of steps above that. But blessedness is about walking in God's way, that there is no other way than God's way except other than to perish. It's like the difference between trees and grasses, as are described in Jeremiah and Psalms. That a tree has a deep root system that, if it's planted by a stream of water, has a great source of life that will sustain it in times of drought or when there's no rain. On the other hand, grass may grow up in seasonal rains, but when the season changes and heat comes, that grass will dry up and wither and blow away. There'll be no remnant of it, whereas the tree's deep roots keep it and give it life. Now, material circumstances can draw us away and draw our attention away from a true source of life and blessing. We might see wicked or foolish people prospering unjustly. The counsel of the ungodly, the way of sinners, might look attractive because it pragmatically seems to be bringing some blessing, a life that's Instagram worthy, so to speak. But striking a financial or a social compromise with the world is simply a pragmatic thing to do that will not lead to life. It's a delight in something that will eventually be blown away on the wind. We might be tempted in our financial dealings to just live for ourselves and pursue things as though it's our money, we can do with it whatever we want. Or in social positions, take an acceptable position to avoid alienation or scorn, with the desire, again, with that temptation and the enticement to be on the right side of history. Or in our political affiliations, whether it's on the right or on the left, being tempted to abide by the purity tests of that political tribe, whichever political tribe is wooing you instead of following in that course of the law of God, the law of God. Material circumstances can draw our attention away from the source of blessing, but they can also very much expose what is true blessing. I think all of us can remember and were impacted in some way by the Great Recession. This time within between 2007 and 2008 when $10 trillion of our economy were suddenly evaporated. Between 2007 and 2010, 40% of median household income was just wiped away, as I'm sure many of us very soberly remember. It's like taking 20 years of wealth, of 20 years of savings, of diligent savings, and it all being wiped away in home equity or different stock value. The ungodly and the godly both absorbed those losses. And that was something that was shaking for many of us, but certainly for our whole country. But even in that time where there was great turmoil and trauma in those loss of value, the steadfast love of the Lord, the value of God's word remained constant. Blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord, not in those who delight in those temporal circumstances and blessings. Those who delight in the place of eternal life, like a irrigation channel or like a stream. We might be trees planted beside that in wisdom and foresight. Instead of seeking out or being attracted to those pools of water that seem like a good place to be in the moment, but will evaporate when trial comes. Those who are rich and comfortable, those who are complacent in their unrighteousness and wickedness, will wither and blow away in years of drought, and their prosperity will not be remembered. Psalm 1 is a preface to the whole book of Psalms, and it's basically saying, as you look ahead to all these verses in the Psalms, if you wish to flourish rather than to wither, if you wish to stand rather than to perish, then read this, read these words, and follow them. As a hymn, or as a collection of hymns for both Jews and for Christians, the Psalms served and still serve a liturgical purpose for us of modeling a right posture and a right voice towards God. It's scripture that forms and expresses delight in the law of the Lord, tutoring us in both righteous lament as well as righteous celebration. It's expressions of delight that form us in delight. There's ways that we need to mature in our prayer and our expression of prayer and praise to the Lord. So it gives us words when we don't know ourselves how to pray. It forms us in delight that still needs to mature, ways that we must delight in the whole counsel and revelation of God's will, delighting in his glory and delighting in obedience that's not just we do so because we're told to, but because there is life and desire in it. Like the writers of the Psalms, whether our circumstances are causes for sadness or joy, whether we're strong or we're weary, whether these words are expressed in a place of abundance or in a place of great exile or want, the law of the Lord is the delight of the blessed. It's a blessing that's not discerned solely by circumstances, but by that focus of our delight. It's, again, a deeper sense of life and source of life. Temporal wealth and pleasure is enticing. The ungodly counsel us, your body is an amusement park. Enjoy the ride. So we might be tempted to make those material things our strength because they're visible, they're immediately available. They're something that we can reach out and grab and earn. God's blessing also manifests itself in life. But the source of our delight exists at the level, again, of the roots, not of the leaves. That it's not just in the appearances. We can't tell exactly of where there's life, but there's a deeper sense of rootedness. Blessed is the one who trusts in that deeper level of life, as a deep channel or a stream, and not just water upon the surface. In personal suffering and loss, whether it's in grief and sickness, whether it's in relational or financial loss, we can commend all these things to the Lord. The Psalms in particular express that kind of lifting up to God, of commendation, of our praises and our petitions. Jesus himself meditated upon God's word day and night so that even when he was upon the cross, he might recite the lament of Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Our desires may not be satisfied. We may not be restored to health, or our riches may come and go. But the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. So blessedness is not contingent upon immediate restoration of things that are lost, but in delighting in God, the giver of all good gifts, who can restore what is lost or give us something infinitely greater. As a church, in extending blessing to the poor, sick, and excluded, and scorned, we express delight in the law of the Lord. As Jesus' disciples, we are to know and do God's word. In obedience to him, God uses us to bless others. We do so in reminding each other of God's word, but more so in performing it through love and mercy and charity. Our delight in the law of the Lord matures when we know it and live it out. I encourage you, or even just invite you this week, to memorize these first two verses from Psalm 1 this week, or if you're feeling extra ambitious, just the whole psalm. Memorize these words so that you might recite them when anxiety or envy threaten you. Memorize them so that you might also recite them to others when they need encouragement or, again, a direction of where true delight lies. May we be an assembly of God's people that delights in the Lord, sustained in our personal struggles and living out God's word as a community, so that in times of suffering and persecution and loss, we still might manifest our delight in God's word and faithfulness through hope and blessing and love for one another, manifesting it not only with our lips, but in our lives. My family and I personally were blessed by encouragement as we had a loss. It was a small loss, but significant to us, in the loss of our dog earlier this week. But I know ways in which all of you are reaching out to one another in times of struggle, moving towards each other in pain, so that no one would endure that alone. Give thanks as well for manifestations of God's life and flourishing. It's right for us to express thankfulness and delight in God's good gifts. It's right for us to join with one another in celebrating those gifts of a new home or a new job, or things that people have prayed earnestly for. But don't be discouraged if those things don't immediately come. If your life doesn't feel Instagram worthy, and that's either on the popular level of fancy cars or vacations, or even on the Christian level of posting idyllic pictures of your devotions or your family always smiling. Because we know that once the family is done with the picture, then people start to squabble again often. But it's still right for us as a people to gather with one another and express thanksgiving. For whereas other things are seeking the validation of others, delight in God's provision cannot be swayed by the silence of others or even the condemnation of others. And those things, especially in social media, can be painful. It's not the encouragement that you received, but sometimes the absence of encouragement that is so shaking to our spirit, our security. Instead, like trees planted by streams of water, we can both flourish in drought and abundance, sinking our roots into the fertile and well-watered soils of God's promises. We will not fear when heat comes, nor are we anxious in times of drought. For those who delight in the law of the Lord shall not cease to bear fruit in their time. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.